Well, my dear brothers and sisters, I believe that we've had another very interesting, even exciting year in 2014 from the point of view of Bible prophecy. On the home front, we've seen this country at last come out of that economic recession, which has been such a problem since the great financial crash of 2008. Nevertheless, as we look forward, we still have, as a country, considerable national debts to deal with, which seem, if anything, to be growing rather than diminishing right now. We've seen the United Kingdom survive that vote on Scottish independence, that referendum that was held in Scotland. And there's no doubt in my mind that the Union of the United Kingdom will be best placed to deal with that problem of the national debt. But I think that referendum has opened a number of questions, and it's going to be interesting to see what the fallout from that event will be. Will it mean that the Labour Party will lose a large number of its Scottish MPs? There's been a huge surge in support for the Scottish National Party, largely to the detriment of the Labour Party in Scotland, and that surge has continued despite them losing the referendum. And this could easily mean that the Labour Party fails to gain an overall majority in the forthcoming general election that's due in 2015. Might it also be that as more powers are devolved to Scotland and to Wales and to Northern Ireland, the pressure to not allow MPs from those areas to vote on English matters in the English Parliament means that only English MPs, therefore, will be allowed to vote on English matters. That will also affect the way governments introduce legislation and what chance there is of it being passed into law. It could be that the fallout of that referendum will be, particularly as we've seen the rise of the United Kingdom Independence Party, which is surging very strongly and has gained two MPs during 2014, it could be that that will affect the ability of the Conservative Party to gain an overall majority. And it may be that neither of the major parties will be able to do that, to gain a majority in that 2015 election, God willing. It could be that whichever party gains the most votes will be left to have to form a coalition, perhaps with the Scottish National Party, maybe with the United Kingdom Independence Party, which will considerably change the dynamics. Scottish National Party moves to the left, socialism. The United Kingdom Independence Party is more right-wing and is dedicated to removing Britain from the European Union. That brings us to consider the question of Britain and the European Union. Unlike this country, which is headed out of recession during 2014, the European Union is actually heading back into recession at the end of this year. And we observe the continuing tribulations of the euro, which this country was probably very wise not to join. According to Nigel Farage, it's a failed currency, but time will tell whether that proves to be the case. They've certainly got problems with it. Different countries in that union with different economies are finding it hard to make it work as one economy, which it really has to, if there's going to be a common currency. For those of us who see Britain, as I do, as one of the leading merchants of Tarshish, mentioned in Ezekiel 38, it's not at all surprising to me to see this pressure that seems to be developing, which is pushing Britain towards the exit of the European Union. It must be very tempting, I think, for whichever party comes into power to find some big way of saving money and dealing effectively with that national debt. And one of the most obvious ways is to leave the European Union. It costs this country many billions each year to retain its membership. But of course that would have to be handled in a way which doesn't mean that we lose all our trade with Europe, which is probably about 50% of this country's overseas trade. Certainly, for those like myself, as I say, who see Britain as one of the merchants of Tarshish countries, we've long expected Britain to retain its independence from the European, in inverted commas, beast. spoken of in the book of Revelation, which is what we believe is developing across Europe with this European Union. It's one of the phases, last phase perhaps, of the European beast power, Catholic Europe, working together. Now, we expect Britain to continue to work with its English-speaking family of nations, trading over long distances with each other, as they do. As I've said, the merchants of Tarshish, that's what that means, I believe, working together and continuing, and this is confirmation, really, of that identification, continuing to have influence and to trade and to have military involvement in Arabia. And during the year, we've seen Britain and the US very much involved with Saudi Arabia and with the Gulf states in particular, Sheba and Dedan, it's Arabia, I believe, working together and being drawn back into that area, in fact, to deal with the regional problems of the Middle East, particularly the threat of Iran and its potential for developing nuclear weapons. And now more recently, it's happened really just during this last year, hasn't it? With this Islamic State, which has taken over large parts of Iraq and Syria, and which is meaning that Britain and the US are having to try and deal with that problem, which is threatening to undo all that they thought they'd done in Iraq. On the international front, the United States has also come quite strongly out of that financial recession, and it's been particularly helped by its ability to become self-sufficient in gas, and I think about 70, I understand about 70% sufficient in oil, due to this fracking process that they've been able to engage in the United States, which means that they're pretty much independent of Middle Eastern oil and gas, certainly gas. And it seems very likely that the United States has conspired with Saudi Arabia to deliberately keep oil production from Saudi Arabia and from the OPEC countries high and drive down the international price of oil, which has had the effect of hitting the economies of Iran and especially Russia very hard. That seems to have been a deliberate process that they've undertaken there. Saudi Arabia has huge financial reserves. They can afford to take a hit, but Russia and Iran do not. And that brings us to consider Russia in particular. We've certainly seen it resurgent, haven't we, under President Putin, and perhaps particularly during the last year. In the early part of the year, President Putin was able to wrong-foot President Obama over Syria, over the chemical weapons issue. Obama said that the Syrians must stop using chemical weapons, and he threatened to bomb and fire missiles at them if they didn't. And Putin came along and said, well, we'll come to an arrangement and the Syrians will give up their chemical weapons. And it seemed quite a clever solution. The only trouble is nobody knows how many chemical weapons the Syrians have got. So whether they've given them all up or not, who's to say? And we've seen President Putin and Russia reacting very strongly to Western influence in Ukraine in particular, with Russia annexing Crimea and thereby solving the problem of potentially losing its naval facilities there, which are very, very important to Russia because that's where our southern fleet is based. And more latterly, sending arms and even troops into eastern Ukraine to support a rebellion amongst Russian speakers there. And we shouldn't be surprised at Russian concern over that area, because if you know anything about the history of Russia, you would know that the original Russian state was actually centred on Kiev, which is the capital of Ukraine. It was called Kievan Rus, R-U-S. And that's the very name that appears in Ezekiel 38 and 39 in our English translations. It's the ancient name of Russia, and that's the ancient territory of Russia, before it moved more to the east and centred itself on Moscow. So we've seen Russia flexing its military muscles, maintaining control of the port facilities, for its southern fleet, so that I believe it might have those ships ready to come into the Mediterranean through the Dardanelles, as described in Daniel chapter 11, verse 40, coming with many ships, the king of the north. I think the interesting question as we move forward into 2015 is as to how Russia will react to the financial pressure, the considerable financial pressure that she's under due to the falling price of oil, which is hitting their economy very hard and has caused the ruble to almost crash into the floor in terms of its international value. How is President Putin to maintain his popularity? Will he feel pressured into more military adventures? John Thomas foresaw, in his latter-day understanding of prophecy, he foresaw Russia triumphant, Europe in chains. And Ezekiel 38 and 39 can be understood as indicating that Russia will lead Central European and Western European Christian countries, as well as second-line countries like Iran and Libya and Ethiopia, against Israel, and trigger, we believe, the revelation of Christ to his people to deliver them from that invasion. So just to sum up, as I see the signs of the times that have been developing in 2014, the scene, in my view, is rapidly being set for the latter-day invasion of Israel from the north, headed up by Russia. Russia is undoubtedly the great military land power of Europe, as President Putin is not slow to remind people. She sits in the far north in relation to Israel, exactly as described in Ezekiel 38 and 39. The King of the North is, I believe, being prepared for its latter-day role. The United States and Britain, with their English-speaking allies, are being kept in Egypt, perhaps to fulfil the King of the South role, and certainly in Arabia, so that Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish might work together. I'd like to just say a few words about Revelation 16, which is one of our chapters for today. In this prophecy, we are in the sixth vial period, which is described from verse 12. And I'd like to just reread what it says about that vial. These are the last judgments of God that result in the Battle of Armageddon and the establishment of the kingdom. Verse 12 of chapter 16 of Revelation. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Under the symbol of the River Euphrates, in this case being dried up, we have really the opposite effect of the sixth trumpet described in Revelation chapter 9, under which, if you might remember, the angel released the four angels which were bound at the River Euphrates, and the Turkish invasions took place across what later became, of course, Turkey. And it destroyed the Eastern Empire based on Constantinople, and the Turkish Empire was established. But in this prophecy, we have the drying up of that Turkish power being described, that the way of the kings of the East, or kings from the sun's rising, perhaps Christ and the saints, might be prepared. And certainly, when Turkey was sufficiently dried up, General Allenby in 1917 pushed them out of Palestine, the opportunity for the State of Israel to be established was brought about. And we see the stage there prepared by the drying up of this great River Euphrates. It's interesting that the River Euphrates rises in the southern mountain of Turkey. So she's been brought back to the point from which that great river Euphrates comes. So it's the symbol is very appropriate. And that's also prepared the way, as verse 13 tells us, for three unclean spirits like frogs to come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. The dragon is the Eastern European, was originally the Eastern European Empire centred on Constantinople, but when the Turks took over Constantinople in 1453, the seat of that Eastern power was moved to Moscow, and Moscow became what's known as the Third Rome. So the dragon power is, I believe, today Russia, headed up by Russia. It's the Orthodox Church, which is very much revived, we notice, under President Putin and with the fall of communism. The beast power is Catholic Europe, and the false prophet, the papacy, with perhaps the false prophet Muhammad being included under that symbol as well. Three unclean spirits like frogs. These are doctrines. They come out of the mouths of these powers. These are ideas, philosophies. This is thinking, okay, political thinking. Like frogs. They're like the ideas that came out of the French Revolution, represented by three frogs. The ideas that came out of the French Revolution, liberty, fraternity, equality. They're the ideas that have given rise to the political forces that have shaped Europe since the French Revolution. Socialism, democracy, communism, which are still working in the political thinking of those powers. Putin purports to be a democrat. As so often happens, these forces start off ideally and then they turn into something like nationalism. If you think of the French Revolution, it resulted ultimately in the rise of Napoleon, who proclaimed himself an emperor. In the case of Putin, he's been elected democratically, but we see him moving more and more to almost to the point where he's becoming a dictator. And he has a way of suppressing anybody who provides an alternative candidate that might oppose him. And so often that seems to be the case. The beast power, Catholic Europe, the thinking of that power is very much socialist. False prophet, the papacy, have had an interesting change of pope during the year. It's going to be interesting to see how he gets on in trying to revive the influence of the papacy. He seems to have different ideas. He seems to be willing to compromise on matters that once the church stood firm on. And God's hand is using these powers to bring about, as it says, the gathering of the nations to that great battle of Armageddon. Maybe the same battle described in Zechariah 14, or maybe that's a later event. We're not sure. But God's hand is working in all these things, and the important thing for ourselves is that we must expect the coming of Christ at any time to take us away to the judgment along with the resurrected who are accounted responsible. We must expect that event at any time. We expect to be taken away, don't we, before the great invasion of Israel takes place. And we expect to be with Christ to support him in his work of dealing with those invasions of Israel. So that brings us finally to consider ourselves and our ecclesias today. How are we doing in keeping back the influence of the world from our lives and from our homes? Are we ensuring that we maintain time for regular prayer, for the reading of God's word, and those works on the truth which will help our understanding of Scripture, help us to see where we are in the purpose of God? There's books and magazines that sometimes sit on our shelves rather dustily, but which we ought to be reading and taking the opportunity to strengthen our faith by so doing. Are we allowing the world with its multimedia to wash over us? It's much easier to switch on that switch, isn't it, and just let the stuff come out rather than keeping that off and making an effort to build ourselves up spiritually and to make time for the things of the truth. Are we noted for our enthusiastic attendance and participation in ecclesial activities and duties? Or is there apathy and excuses for our lack of support? Each of us has to answer these questions and look at our own consciences in these matters, don't we? I'm sure in our hearts, every one of us really wishes to make our calling and election sure. And we are capable of doing so, that we must be certain. If we continue to show our faith with determined and faithful activity, God will understand if we are sometimes hindered by old age and poor health. So may God bless us and strengthen us as we go forward into 2015.